On the show today, special delivery. Stories about transporting surprising and precious cargo through sometimes treacherous journeys. And in the past year, almost half of the world's population, more than 3 billion people, have received at least one dose of a vaccine against COVID-19. It is a remarkable feat. But I gotta say, when I got my shot at my local drugstore, I remember sitting there and thinking, like, how does the vaccine know where to go in my body? How does it get delivered to the right cells?
It's amazing. I am constantly amazed at how it works, how synchronized it all is, and how smart it is.
Catherine Whitehead is a professor of chemical and biomedical engineering at Carnegie Mellon, and she is what's called a drug delivery scientist.
So a drug delivery scientist wants to make sure that when we take any kind of medication, it goes to the right place inside of our bodies, and it does that without causing any kind of toxicity or negative effects in places that it shouldn't. So one of the things we work on in my lab is to enable the use of brand new drug technologies.
The new technology, of course, that we've all been talking about is the COVID-19 messenger RNA, or mRNA vaccine. It's different because it doesn't put a live virus into the body.
mRNA is a very critical middleman.
With this vaccine, mRNA delivers instructions to teach our cells how to make the spike protein that's part of the coronavirus.
And so the moment that messenger RNA is fully inside the cell, our cells know exactly what to do with it. They know that they have to look at that code and they have to make the protein that's associated with it.
But once that protein is made, the cells start to suspect that it doesn't belong there.
And they hold it out on the outside of the cell to basically alert our immune systems and ask them, hey, will you come over here? Will you check out this protein that I just made? Is it a problem? And when our immune cells come over and they see this part of the spike protein belonging to the coronavirus, they know it doesn't belong there. And so they begin to make antibodies. And in this case, they're making antibodies that will bind very specifically and accurately to the coronavirus if it were to enter our system. And when those antibodies bind to an invading coronavirus, basically it gets walled off from its surroundings. It cannot interact with our lung cells or other cells that it wants to infect. And our body knows when something's covered in antibodies, we have to get rid of it. And so it gets flushed from our system.
I mean, that is just incredible.
It is just amazing.
Here's Catherine Whitehead on the TED stage.
How is that even possible? It was possible because scientists have been working for many years to get us to the point where we could use mRNA quickly in an emergency situation. Specifically, we've been working on how to help mRNA with its biggest problem, which is that it doesn't normally go to the right places inside of our bodies. When mRNA is administered, it's injected into our muscles or our bloodstream, but we actually need it to go inside of our cells. Unfortunately, mRNA is fragile, and our bodies will destroy it before it goes very far. You can think of mRNA like a glass vase that you'd like to send in the mail. Without a box and bubble wrap, it'll break long before it's been delivered. And without an address on the box, your postal delivery service will have no idea where to take it. And so if we're going to use mRNA as a therapeutic, it needs our help. It needs protection, and it needs to be told where to go. And that's where I come in.
In a minute, the very special wrapping material that Catherine Whitehead and other scientists have developed to get that mRNA delivered safely. It's kind of like packing peanuts, but on a cellular level. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and you're listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR. We'll be right back. It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. And for this episode on special deliveries, we were just talking to Carnegie Mellon professor Catherine Whitehead. Her job is figuring out how to safely transport the very fragile mRNA vaccine when it's introduced to our bodies when we get a shot.
It doesn't belong in the bloodstream. And so the different components there, including some of our immune cells, would destroy it right away because they know that messenger RNA does not belong there.
Okay. So, and that goes back to your analogy of mRNA being like a very, very precious vase that you want to send in the mail, but you're worried that it will be destroyed or crushed before it gets to its destination.
Exactly. But if we put it in a box and add packing material, then it is safe. It can move through the mail system because it's in a box. And then on top of that, we need an address so that the post service knows where to take it.
For over five decades, scientists and engineers like myself have been creating the shipping materials for nucleic acid drugs like DNA and RNA. Through trial and error, we've created packages that deliver intact bases to the wrong address, that deliver to the right address, but with a broken vase, and packages that throw out the mail carrier's back. It's taken many years to get the science right. Let me show you the result. These tiny balls of fat that we call lipid nanoparticles. Let me tell you what they are and how they work. These nanoparticles are made up of several fatty molecules called lipids. Fat is an awesome packing material, nice and bouncy. Interestingly, our cells are also surrounded by fat to keep them flexible and protected. Years ago, scientists had the idea to create lipid nanoparticles that would act like a Trojan horse. Because the lipids in the nanoparticle look similar to the membranes that surround our cells, the cells are willing to bring the nanoparticle inside, and that's when the mRNA is released into the cell.
So, Catherine, the vaccine gets delivered to the cells via these tiny balls of fat. They're kind of like the packaging material or like the packing material. But how do you actually make these fatty globules so that they can do this, so that they can protect the mRNA and then safely transport it?
So there are two ingredients that are naturally occurring in our own cell membranes. One is a phospholipid. Phospholipids, when you put them together, they self-assemble into what's called a lipid bilayer. And so that helps with the organization of the particle. However, those phospholipids, they are a bit too loosey-goosey, and they will fall apart.
Second, there's a lipid called cholesterol. It provides structural support so the nanoparticles don't fall apart in between the injection and when they get into our cells.
We have a tremendous amount of beneficial cholesterol in our bodies. We would be a pile of goo if we did not have seriously, all of our cell membranes would collapse and we would be a pile of goo.
Mm.
So those are two of the ingredients in the particle. Then there is what's called the ionizable lipid. This is the one that can take on a positive charge inside of our cells. This is one that needs to be made in a lab.
And because they're made in the lab, they tend to be proprietary to the company that invented them. So, for example, Moderna and BioNTech, the company that partnered with Pfizer, they discovered different ionizable lipids. And that is the only important ingredient in their COVID-19 vaccines that differ. Finally, one more ingredient. This one is a polymer called polyethylene glycol. So let's call it PEG. That's much easier. You can think of the other three lipids as the box and the bubble wrap for the mRNA, and the PEG as the packing tape. So let's take a step back and look at our whole nanoparticle. When these ingredients all fit together nicely, The result is a delivery woman's dream. As we speak, the mRNA vaccines are out there, saving lives from the coronavirus. They were our first and best tool to combat this nightmare, and they are our best hope of responding swiftly to viral variants because we can keep our lipid nanoparticle packaging the same, and all we have to do is swap out the mRNA that's inside. But here's the best part. For mRNA therapeutics, these vaccines are only the beginning. mRNA can be used to treat or cure many diseases. So, in the future, we will likely have treatments for many terrible diseases, including cystic fibrosis, muscular dystrophy, and sickle cell anemia. We'll have treatments for cancer, breast, blood, lungs, you name it. Here, we'll use mRNA to teach our immune cells how to find and kill cancer cells. And then, if we're lucky, we'll have vaccines against some of the most deadly and feared pathogens across the globe, including malaria, Ebola, and HIV. Some of these products are already in clinical trials, and the success of the COVID-19 vaccines will pave the way for future generations of these therapies.
I mean, it's kind of bittersweet. Without COVID, we would not have made such rapid progress to deploy this mRNA technology that can be used, will be used in the near future, you're saying, to treat all kinds of diseases well beyond coronaviruses.
Exactly. This pandemic is the only thing that caused us to use this mRNA technology because we felt like we didn't have many options. But meanwhile, this mRNA technology, it can do so many things. And so this is kind of like the gates have opened for mRNA therapeutics. They have finally gotten their chance to show that they work. So yes, we have lost entirely too many people to this virus, and it's been awful. But when we think ahead of all the people who are dying of all sorts of rare diseases, other infectious diseases, when we consider all of them, you can think about how this technology can be deployed then to help them, to save those people, the future sick people. We have lost too many people now to this exact virus, but the technology and through its development will, down the line, save even more lives.
That's Catherine Whitehead. She's a drug delivery scientist and professor at Carnegie Mellon. You can see her full talk at TED.com.